A couple things we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about faith today, and we've been talking about this more of faith for more and what that looks like. A verse that is so probably common, you've read it, but it never gets old. It's so concise in giving us a clear definition when we talk about faith. A biblical definition of faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is starting in Hebrews. He's saying these people who have gone before us in the Old Testament, they point out these places. They lived according to faith, right? And I'd encourage you maybe even to read Hebrews 11. But one way the Message puts this, I love the Message, it says it this way. It says, faith is a firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It is the handle on what we cannot see. It is the handle. It allows us to get a hold on what we cannot see. Now, I want to show you somebody who, in the natural, is experience. You know, another word for faith is trust, right? That helps us a little bit. Because sometimes we have images of non-relation. It's a place of trust. God is wanting us to trust him. So I want to show a picture of someone who's experiencing great degrees of trust and having a blast doing it. It's that kid up in the air, right? The kid up in the air, I love this picture because it really gives us an understanding of what faith is. It's a place of trusting your father, you know? Now, that father may drop him, but God doesn't drop us, right? And we can trust him completely. And so I look at that picture and I think to myself, you know, he may not have started there. He may have started being like, and then up. And then after a few times, they land and it starts getting better. And you can see his mouth, he's just laughing. And one thing I love about this picture of this is because, you know, a child is automatically wired to please their father, right? And there's a lot more going on than just the thrill of going up and down here. You understand that? This is something that's very relational. He's looking at his father. He's trusting his father. There's something happening between them. And every time he's caught, it connects. And the father is enjoying it like crazy because the son is actually, he's just pleased with the trust that he has in him. And the son is looking at him and saying, oh, this is a blast, and connecting to the father. There's so much happening in this picture. Now, faith is something, it's not, when you look at Scripture, faith isn't one thing. It's actually the thing, all right? A verse we use around here a lot is in Hebrews 11, 6, because it defines what pleases God. And when you find those kind of verses, you just got to camp on them. This is what pleases God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so as we look at that, we see them as he's talking about this, like, you know, we're wired to please our natural father, but when we become a follower of Jesus, we're wired to want to please our heavenly father. We want to, right? It's built into us. And that spot is, how do we do that? How do you actually please your heavenly father? Is it doing a lot of good deeds? Is it more sacrifice? Is it shaping up? You know, what is it? Here's what it is. It's trusting him. Not with who you truly are, and actually trusting what he says and responding to it. That's what brings him pleasure. That's what pleases him. When we even approach him, believing that if we listen to him, he's always a good father, and whatever he asks us to do, it'll always bring reward, right? And the thing about it is, it's where we start our faith, right? Look in Ephesians. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So it's where we start. So the moment you go to God, what how do you become a follower of Jesus? You really, it's an invisible action. What's happening? You know, there's this God you've heard about, right? And you sense him, you sense his presence, you sense this invisible thing of him drawing to yourself. You understand who he says, I will forgive you, you can come to me. I remember when I first decided to follow Jesus, and I remember this place of receiving Christ, and I remember thinking in the middle of my prayer, I was kind of laying there like this, I thought, this is kind of crazy. I'm talking to an invisible God, committing myself to a Jesus who I've never actually touched or seen, but I know this is what I should do, right? And as I did that, it felt strange because I had no idea what was going to come next. I thought, I have no idea, but all I know is I need to do this. And as I did that, it changed me. And I remember it connected me in a way that I realized I can talk to God. I remember the same day that I connected to God the first time, I remember driving in my car on the way to a place and the way back, and I talked to God the whole time. The day before, I had no concept of that. I didn't even know it was even possible. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. Now, that's the way it starts, but look in Colossians. Just as you receive Christ, Jesus as Lord, you remember what that's like? Just, you know, when you receive Christ as Jesus as Lord, remember how confident you were, how you understood exactly where it was going to, how you had your life all together, you know? No. You just were vulnerable, you, trusting in a really big God and asking him to help you, right? So just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live in him. There's a way you started, just keep doing it. The first step into coming into Jesus is just the first step of how you keep living in Jesus, okay? And you live according to faith. That's trusting him, you know? And it says, continue to live your life in him, rooted and built in up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You know, as you understand that, you start realizing what he's saying there is this is just the first step, and this is how you start, is how you go. And because every time you choose to trust a new area of your life, it builds you up. It establishes you. It roots you. It brings the security to say, I want to do that again. And that place of risk turns to a place of joy and fulfillment and gratitude. And what it goes back to just what happened when you received Christ. You have greater boldness and confidence of coming before God, right? You guys ever experienced that? You have this, I won't use the word, bad stuff in your life, and you just think, I can't go to God with this. And then you say, but you feel him saying, come to me with this. And you say, it says he'll forgive me, but I don't know about this one. And then you go to God to him, and guess what? You think, he did it again. His grace is there. My sin increased. His grace abounded all the more. You start recognizing. You think, and then now you can go back to him quicker and quicker, right? Because you understand this is who the God is that you're relating to. Now, you look at faith. It's loaded with reward. When we go to God, we're supposed to believe he rewards us, right? And part of the reward is really that we get to please God. In other words, when you step out and God challenges you to do something, you say yes to it. You can sense his pleasure. As a child of his, it just is a great feeling that knowing that God is taking pleasure in what you're doing. And so we should seek him earnestly, but understanding if we do that, if we step out, he will actually reward us. And it allows us to get to a spot that we can go to this greater place of coming into his presence, where every time we take a place of faith, it strengthens us and builds us up, you know. And if we trust God, it really, I think of the kingdom of God, where it talks about what the kingdom of God is seeking it first. It's this place of trusting that above the other things of God. And the characteristics happen is that you will find these things, the kingdom of God. When you step and live in faith, you'll find this feeling of righteousness, this feeling of being right before God, and you'll feel his peace, and you have joy. And so faith is this place, when we are living in it, it has huge, not only advancing what God wants, not only pleasing God, it has huge effects on us and how we live. And so I want to show you another picture, and I want you to see what you think of this. Here's the question I have. Is this kid exercising faith at this point? Right? He's thinking about it. If you could look at it a little closer, he has this kind of questionable look on his face. You can almost hear the conversation going on. Now, this is a real part of faith. It's that invitation right before you decide if you're going to say yes to it, right? And it feels like this. It feels, and this is important to understand, because God is a loving Father. Sometimes we think of faith being, he is the commander-in-chief, he's the king of kings, he's given us orders, we have to say, okay, he said to do this, I must do, that's faith. And there's truth in that. But quite honestly, it's a relational thing. It's God wanting us to trust him as a father. And so this is his father. He's saying, hey, come on, you know, he's explaining it to him. He's encouraging him. He's not going to push him, right? He might. I don't know that guy, but he shouldn't. I mean, but a good father's not going to say, push him on. He's going to stay there and say, do you want to trust? And he'll just keep staying there and keep explaining it. It's helping him understand all the facts, but saying, now, this is what I want you to do. And so, as you look at this, is that this is an aspect of faith which is important to understand. When you get to certain points of faith, now some faith happens pretty easily, and sometimes it doesn't happen very easily. Sometimes it's a really hard thing, right? And, you know, for me, I think if you think of this kid, is once he starts jumping, at first he may not even like it, but then as he does it for a while, pretty soon you're like, it changes his whole demeanor after he tries it. But he has to try it before that takes place. He has to say, yes, that step, and then faith is built within this child, right? And so for us with God or our Father, it's very much the same way, where God is inviting us to say, hey, this is what I want you to do. Will you do it? And it will feel a lot like this kid feels at first. You know, in Vineyard, they used to have spell faith, and you spell faith. You're a very good Vineyard folks, R-I-S-K. So the reality of it is, that is actually not a really good definition of faith. That is what it feels like right before faith. It's what you feel like when you pass through and you say, yes, I will. That is that spot of risk. But we have to realize if we just spell faith that way, to me it's not very appealing. I want to live and risk the rest of my life. No, I want to live in reward that risk gets me to that, right? And faith can be spelled reward as well, which I won't spell because I will probably mess it up. But the reality is, so it can be spelled the other way as well. So it's both things. You know, when I first became a follower of Jesus, I don't know about you. Certain things in Christianity that God is asking me, it's like I can jump in pretty quick, right? There's still an element of risk, but like, hey, I'm do that, right? Yeah. And so like, I was able to quit cussing and quit doing some drugs and stuff pretty quick. Some people can't, but for me, I could. Okay, but other things, man, I could not trust God on, you know. And one of those is I was supposed to share my faith. I tell you what, I grew up my life. I was always with older kids. I learned how to not look foolish. I learned how to please people, and this just seemed like a really bad idea. And I was like this kid on the boat. Every time I'd get to a place of just easily just saying, this is what I mean, God had changed my life, but I couldn't get out of my mouth. You guys ever had those kind of things? And so God was, what's so cool is God was gracious with me. He didn't just shove me. He didn't just give up on me. He stayed there, but he also helped me take that step. And he did these crazy things to just, as a creative father, to help me take the step. Because he knew once I took the step, I would catch on and say, oh, all my fears were not true, and I would take it again. And so I remember, you know, he first tricked me into telling my, you know, I thought he was going to just talk to my one, you've heard the story, I talked to my one agnostic friend, and 15 of my party friends were there, and I had to tell the whole group. I thought that wasn't fair, but I kind of liked it, because when I did it, they all hated me, but I felt really good inside, you know? I felt like, wow, this works, you know? And then I remember I wanted to date this girl. And I found out, you know, Christians are supposed to, you're supposed to date other Christians. And I don't know if she's a Christian, but I sure wanted to date her. So I said, I need to pray about this. So I prayed about it, and here's what God said. At least I think that's what he said. He said, just, you can date her, but on your first date, tell her everything that God's done for your in your life and what direction your life's going. And I thought, that is not a good first date. But I wanted to date this girl enough that he tricked me, and I did it. And by golly, it helped to say what I was. And one time I went to a job interview, and he said, write in your job interview, because I know you're checking out on this, write that you love the Bible, and then maybe they'll bring it up, you know, and because I want you to tell them that you're a Christian. And I thought, oh, no, not a job interview. So I get there, and of course the guy just doesn't want to talk about that part of my, you know, my hobbies, and he liked to fish, but doesn't touch the Bible part. So I said, you might notice that I said I love the Bible. So cheesy. But what it did for me is it allowed me to say, this is who I am. And every time I did it, it changed, right? It became something that went from risk to reward. And now I love it to find a place that I can sit and tell people, this is what Jesus did for me, right? There's still a risk factor in it, but nothing like what we're talking about, or it used to be. Now, and what I want to just say is that when we get to this spot of faith, we can understand it's going to have that kind of a feel for it. And what we have to understand is as we look through the Hebrews, we see that it has this feel sometimes when we get to that spot of like, I'm going to be foolish and people may not understand. It gets this spot. But faith, it when we exercise it, it overcomes fear. It changes you. It goes to a place that you begin, and the coolest thing is, in faith, it's that you build a relationship every time to a deeper level with God when you trust Him. And this is what pleases Him, and this is what allows us to go deep with God. So when we talk about our church, we talk about any part of a church, what we want to do is we want to always approach things and saying, that's what God's looking for. He's looking at our heart, not the outside, the inside. And He's looking for us as individuals and as a body to live according to faith, to go to Him, diligently seek Him, listen to what He says, and respond to it. And He wants us to live by faith, not by our sight. Now, we want to be clear, especially that when we're talking about this building expansion, we don't, you know, we are doing everything we know how to do this by faith. You know, we want to challenge, we want to give you all the information, but we want you to listen to God and respond from that. Never out of manipulation, never out of pressure, but we do want you to go to God and begin saying, what is my part in that, right? So I'm not going to go through a lot of details on the expansion because those details will be in, if you get you'll get a information booklet and a lot's going to be on that. We'll have stuff online. We have lots of stuff, so you'll hear more about that. So I would not do justice in describing it, but I will give you a little bit of a snapshot of what we're talking about for those who know nothing about what we're doing as the expansion project to just give you a little bit of idea, and then you can figure out the details later. We're going to reverse this sanctuary, okay? The stage will be there. These walls will be down. The seating will come up further, so we'll have more seating. Behind me, there'll be two doors that will come in, and those will go into a lobby. You can see to your right there, that will be the lobby that's built out. And that lobby will have restrooms and coffee bar and lots of room. And it can be used as a regular meeting area as well, which is bigger than what we've ever had in a second room. And then as you go down the hallway, there'll be a youth designated for the first time in history. The youth will actually have their own space. And praise Jesus. Yeah. And you'll go down the hallway. There'll be offices. I still don't have an office, but now they're using my one office for three people. So, that's what you call efficiency. There's three people in my office right now. I used to have it all by myself and had a couch there, none of that anymore. But now I'm at the coffee shop still, but the administrative team will actually have an expanded office. It's going to be reconfigured so they have more space in their office. Then you come walk back up, you go downstairs, and that's where the exciting things happen, especially with the kids, because if you've not been around the kids, we've had this last couple months, we've had two different times, we've had 75 kids in children's ministry over the two services. And if you've ever seen our facilities, you understand that it starts breaking down is your ability to actually disciple children in that environment. And so we have three rooms, kind of. There were two rooms. Now there's three rooms. And we have upstairs. But downstairs, we have three rooms. Now turned into six right-sized rooms. Also, two bathrooms that are there for the kids. Really cool rooms with light in them. And we'll have a check-in station there as well. And so it's going to be really cool. So you can see all the details of that. We'll also be updating things like a roof that leaks that we've been needing to change, and HVAC and other things as well. We've been waiting on the parking lot, so you guys did. I don't know if you noticed the parking lot's not in very good shape as you clunk things around as you get out of your car. So all those kind of things. And so there's a lot of real practical reasons, right? I mean, there's a good list we could say. Yeah, that's great. We need to expand our building, but what happened is we got to a spot where. In this process, when we started heading down this road, it kind of came like this. Some of you don't know that when we bought this building, we quickly evaluated and said, we're in trouble on the children's space. But when we bought the building, we looked at the value of if we expanded out, would it be a really good value, smart, and what it change the whole way of this church would be valuable and would it be good for us? And so we already took an architect. We bought an architect and said, can we expand the building out? And they kind of generally had the same plan, changed a little bit. And they said, yes, you can. And so we've evaluated that cost-wise already to a general, pretty much since the very beginning. It's just waiting on when it was time. And it's been time for a while, but we kind of feel like we're not really excited about just jumping into it. But we don't just because of facts. We feel like God has to give us a nudge. And so about a year ago, he just began giving us a nudge, started with Caleb saying, I think God's doing this. We talked, and he started taking it over. I was thrilled, and over time, it got to a spot where we realized, okay, this is right. This is one of those places God's laying it out. We're saying yes to it. It's risky, but we're going to do this, right? But we saw it more as like, we need a building, you know? And God will give us the grace to get through this, and we'll get this going. But then as we went into it, it just started changing. And I like it to be all neat, but the reality of it just started changing into something else. We started realizing that what this was is we realized that God was using this project kind of as a catalyst to kind of wake us up to where God was taking us, you know? And as we started praying about it, more and more started taking place. And so what I want to do, before we've been talking about kind of the more in a really broad way, talking about our essentials, right? That what we do is the more is going to be always about our values. It's going to be about loving people. We love, you know, these are all the things that we have, we feel like God wants to increase. We want to love people better, love one another better. We want to experience God's presence to greater degrees where he comes with us in everything we do. He's with us. We understand that. We want to have God's truth go to the next level of both coming into us and us bring it out to other people because it sets people free. And we want to see God's power come and change people's lives, right? So that's going to be what we do, whatever we do. But I wanted to talk a little bit like in more detail, like the things that, these aren't like prophetic words, I'm guaranteeing you this will happen, but I feel like this is where God is taking us. Some of the things of the more and how that might look. And so how the more may look is this, is I think God's going to make us a more generous church. Now, here's what I'm saying, that we are a generous church. You know, we have a lot of generosity. We're kind of known for the church that helps other things outside of our church, right? So it's not that we're saying that we're not generous. We just believe God can make us a whole different level where we're kind of known, as our marker is we're generous. We kind of abundantly give to things outside of ourselves as well. So I think God's going to use this process to build that into us even to another degree. I think more people, you know, who are already in our church are going to be stepping out in new ways in our present ministries. In other words, they're not just going to serve on a team. They're going to see an area and they sense, I think God wants to take this next level, and they become part of it in a way that expands that area or strengthens that area that is already taking place in the church. I also think that there's going to be more people who are involved in these partnerships. We have a lot of partnerships, and we'll probably see those growing to things that are outside of our building, right? With Nicaragua, with CAC, with Oasis, with numbers of other places. We believe more people, we've kind of just done that. We feel like God's going to go to the next level and having people go to a higher degree of reaching out through our partnerships and otherwise as well. And then I think the thing I'd say is that this may, you know, be something that a lot of churches will say, but I really believe God is going to do something very cool in the area of diversity in our church. I know the complexity of that, right? But I'm telling you, I feel like there's a lot of cooking right now. And I feel like God's going to do some things and make us a much more diverse racially church, a more racially diverse church, economically, you know, culturally, age-wise even. I just think God wants to make us a very diverse church. And I think the last thing, which may seem kind of obvious, is I'm just excited about more people becoming part of our church. You know, there's something about us. You can take a person who's pretty raw, who's never in church, and you drop them in here, and they get around a few of you guys and start hanging out. Pretty soon, they're opening their life to Jesus. I've watched it over and over again. This last couple of years, we've seen more people come to Jesus than we've ever seen in our church. And I think we're just at the very beginning of this. And I feel like we're finally at a place in which that, you know, where we feel like that we've set structures up and our leadership structure now has expanded and done in different ways that now as people come in the church, they're going to get discipled. And it can keep sizing up. And we didn't used to have that, right? When I used to ask God about more people, he said, disciple who you have and I'll give you more. And I feel like we're doing that and we're seeing increase, but I believe he wants to go to a different level. And you know, as I talk about this more, I mean, you know, maybe some of you are thinking, oh, you're one of those pastors who always like to say, my church is bigger. And I hope you know that's not me. If you don't know that, just talk to someone else. It is not me. But at the same time, you know, I want you to think about this whole thing of more. How is it going to happen? It's going to happen by us listening to what God's saying and stepping up to another degrees or listening to God. That's how it's going to happen partially. But part of what's going to happen is I believe God's going to bring more people into our church. Right now, our church has about 325 to 350 who say this is, they'd say this is my church. Some of them don't come, but they say it's their church. No, they come once in a while. But the reality is that's kind of the broader thing. You know, on a typical Sunday with rotation and all that, we'll see 230 to 240 people in both services. And so imagine this. Imagine if we grew by 100 to 150 people. See, when we resize the building, right now that's going to get blocked very quickly. We had a few more, 20 more kids were in trouble. But the reality of it is if we resize the building and it allows growth, then what this does, imagine this church with 100 to 150 more people. And here's what's so cool about this. We can increase 100 to 150 more people and still stay at two services and not even have to change much in structures. You know what I'm saying? Now, to some people, you know, who think of church differently, they might think, "Oh my goodness, we can barely take care of the 300 that we have now." You know, we're going to have to take care of all those people. Not in our church. If you've been around very long, it's like, you know, our message is 150 people, 150 ministers. I mean, we can disciple them. In other words, the idea to understand that if we have 100 more people who begin ministering and begin giving as well, it gives us a capacity to do things we've never been able to do before. We can expand areas of children's ministry. We can expand areas of youth. We can expand areas of outreach to the poor. We can expand things. We have lots more ability than in generosity. And so and that's only the result, that's the pastor's way of thinking. If you're a nice person, you think, oh yeah, and they came to know Jesus. And they got to know Jesus and connected to him as well. So it's just something I just feel like God wants to do. Now, as we're moving ahead in this, I just want to talk to you about kind of like, as we're moving ahead of this project, what is your part? Get your checkbooks out. I can feel the room. All right, so the reality of it is, that here's the thing is, I do want you to understand what we're going to be doing. We're going to really focus on saying, how do we do this in faith? We don't want any manipulation. We want to be really honest, but we want to challenge you to go to God on this, all right? So we're going to do our very best to do that. You know, some of us will get buttons pushed, and that's fine, get prayer and talk to people. But here's what we're going to be looking at doing is we want every person who calls this to their church, we want them to have an honest and real conversation with God over this period of time we're calling the response period, which will be at least 4 weeks or so. And we want you to have a really honest. And if you're, you know, if you're married, with you and your spouse both, you're both going through this process together. And then we want you to be asking about two types of commitments, a financial commitment, and we want you to ask about a non-financial commitment, okay? And then we want you to take a card that will be online, or you can get, it'll come with a package as well, which is it has a lot of options on that card. But it's a way that you can, after you've gone to God, you can say, this is what happened when I went to God. And here's what he asked me to do financially. Here's what he asked me to do non-financially. All right? Now, in doing that, we want to help you through that process and how that looks. But that's really where we're going. Now, I'm going to come up after Emily is, and she's going to just give you information, lots of information, to help you know how to start taking steps in this process. And so she'll talk about how do we gather information and how do we start into this process. And then I want to come back up and kind of talk about what we've learned, because we have some of our leaders who have already gone through this, about, okay, here's what you can expect as you start moving through this process, and here's how to stay connected to God as you do it. So Emily, by the way, amazing woman, okay? And her and Caleb and Amy on filming and Devonna and Debbie, I'm a slacker around these guys. They are just crazy, been working like crazy to get this stuff together. So be nice to them. But you can talk to them.
We're all really glad that this day is here. I just want to take a couple minutes to familiarize you with the information that we want to make available to all of you that you'll be receiving today, and also some other opportunities we're planning throughout the next 4 weeks. So first, directly after service, you may have noticed there's a little display over by the office. You can pick up your building information packet. Oh, wait, I think I have slides too. Hold on. Well, too many things. Yep, there we go. Your building information packet contains two items. The first is the bigger one, your project booklet. Now, this could also be named All You Ever Wanted to Know About VCC's Expansion Project, all in one book. This contains a very thorough and detailed review of not just the building expansion and all those details and our partnership ministries, but of the entire project. So it includes things like, why are we doing this now? How do we feel like God has kind of led us along the way? What's our philosophy on giving? What are our beliefs on giving and special offerings? Why do we feel so strongly that we want each of you to have a personal and real conversation with God about how he wants you to respond? It's all in there. So I would really encourage you to take some time, to devote some time to this booklet. I'd really encourage you to read it cover to cover. I promise you, you will not regret it. And what it's going to do, oh, look, I had a picture of it. Look at all the topics in there. What it's going to do when you read this cover to cover is it is going to prepare you for the next part of your information packet, which is this. It's the project response card. Dave is going to talk a little bit more about this and how to interact with it. But basically, after you've gathered all the information that you need to gather, you've kind of processed it a little, you've processed it at length and decided what you kind of think about this whole thing, what you think about giving, and you've gone to God and you've asked him how he wants you to respond, this card is where you're going to record that response to let us know. You can write it on the physical card, stick it in the envelope we're giving you, and mail it back to us. There's also going to be a box outside the office that you can drop it in. Or alternately, if you prefer consuming things digitally and just being on your computer or your tablet or smartphone, we also have a website set up for all of this. It's our home website, stlvineyard.org/expansion. It's going to be plastered everywhere in all of the materials. You can download the project booklet there. You can actually view it online. You can fill out the response form online there. You can get any of the information we're giving you today also is online. So you can look for it there as well. So the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is this insert that's in your bulletin. Because what we hope is that over the next 2 weeks, you'll really be able to take some time and read your booklet and kind of start noodling on this and start thinking about it, taking all the information you can take. But we know what's going to happen in those 2 weeks is that you're going to have questions. And it's not going to answer all your questions. And we know it won't, and that's okay. And that's why we're going to have some other opportunities for you to come and ask any questions you have, get more information that you need, have personal conversations. And the first of those events is our project open house. That's going to be 2 weeks from now on Saturday, April 23rd. It's going to be in the afternoon for about 4 hours, but it's going to be a type of event where you can just drop in for as long as you want anytime in that time period. And you can visit each section of the church and find out, see with your own eyes how it's going to change. You'll be able to ask questions. Now, wait, how are we going to turn the sanctuary? What's that going to happen? You'll be able to look at the youth room and kind of envision how that's going to change. We're also going to have stations where you can ask about the project financials. Like, wait, how much is this going to cost? Why? What? What's going on there? And also about our partnership ministries. You can find out a lot more about those and ask a lot of questions there too. So, oh, I forgot last time too. I have them highlighted. So the other thing, if you have to miss the project open house or you find that you still have more questions, we're going to have two other events, a Q&A mini tour on subsequent Sundays, April 23rd and April 30th, that you can come right after service on a Sunday, ask any questions you have, get a little tour of the building. And then we also know that anytime the topic of finances gets put on the table in front of you, it's just, you know, it's bound to stir up some internal stuff inside. Finances is a deeply spiritual issue, and we know that. So if you find that the questions that are kind of bubbling up to the surface are a little deeper in nature, or you just would rather have a one-on-one conversation about all of this rather than at a big group event, we'd love for you to schedule a one-on-one time with David, our lead pastor, or one of our leadership community pastors, and we'll set that up for you. We'll set up a time that you can meet with them. And information about setting that up is in this insert. We're also going to have a prayer time to pray about the project and the response period. That's on April 23rd as well, I think. Yep. And finally, to kind of cap off this response period over the next 4 weeks, we're going to have a time where we all come together and celebrate together. It's going to be after service on May 7th. And what we're hoping is that most of the responses will be in by this time. Now, we say that with kind of a little bit of a caveat where we don't want you to shortcut this process. If you are still processing with God, you need to take the time that's going to take. And that is 100% okay, but we're hoping that most of the responses will come in by this time. And so we're just going to get together and we're going to celebrate what God has done. We're going to celebrate what God has done so far in each of us personally, but also as a whole church. And we'll also kind of give an announcement of the total financial commitments that have come in so far. So it'll be a really fun event to come to.
Emily. People who are articulate like that, they amaze me. Like, I would have been up for 20 minutes and you would have been just confused. So I appreciate that. A couple things I want to do is I want to go through some things I think will be helpful in this process in this process, we've learned, because we've had leaders go through it. Debbie and I have already gone through it. We've prayed. We've figured out the number that God's asked us, the things he's asking us to step out on, many of some of the other leaders as well. And we've learned by just kind of learning from that. And so a couple things I would help you in this process is this. There's these stages you'll go into this process. One is just gathering information. That's what we're starting today. Going out in the hallway today and get the information. Start understanding what it is. Come to the open house. We'll have videos as well. Begin looking, asking questions, and that sort of thing. The second part is it takes you to a place of, the other part of your process is, what do you have faith for this? Do you believe this is a good thing to do? You know, if you don't, that's a different question. You don't have to deal with it. That will take you, do I believe that this is a wise thing to do for our church? And then there's this place that, like Emily referred to, is it causes you, when you begin think about this, it starts taking to place when you think about financial, like, what do I believe about giving? It takes you to places of, like, you be, and also if you're married, it takes you to place of realizing the way you understand giving, is that the same way that your spouse thinks about giving? And so as we look at that, is we want you to get to a spot where you're listening to God and for God's voice in both of these areas. Now, in the financial area, you know, as you think about it, we're asking you to ask this question, is should I give to the building expansion, and what number should I give over the 33 months, either one time or mixed, above and beyond my regular giving? That's the question. Well, you know, what that might take you to is it might take you to a place in which that it'll stir up other areas. Like, it's like, oh, well, and it begins taking you again to what your beliefs are about giving. And then we're also going to be asking, you know, in this area of non-financial, you know, does he is this place of, is God asking me to take a step in the area of a commitment that he's drawing us me toward that I know he's asking me and I need to take that step? I'm on that boat and I think, no, I need to take that step. And so as we look at that, is then we want you to fill out your response card and turn that in. Now, that's kind of the simple version, right? But what happens in this process, we want to kind of help you through. After you've kind of gone through those places, gathering facts, beliefs, you're still in this process of trying to decide. And I think that, you know, what we realized is in the area of finances, and let me just kind of talk about that. In the area of finances, when you get there, you might find yourself going into other areas. Okay, you start the conversation, like we said, should I give to the expansion project? How much should I commit to over these 33 months? And then, but it gets into the spot above and beyond your regular giving. It might take you to different places, right? The conversation may start shifting, and we want you to stay engaged in the conversation. Again, because what we're looking for is not figures. We're looking for you to listen to God and then respond to him. And so the first part is it may take you to place of stewardship. I mean, it could be a spot where maybe you're even giving, you know, above 10% faithfully to the church or that sort of thing, but you have a lot of wealth and you're kind of hanging on to it like that, and God might say, hey, pay attention out here. That's the area of stewardship. But it can be on the other end of area of stewardship that maybe you're struggling in areas of finances and you're realizing you're not sure where you're at on finances, and it's difficult because you may have debt or you may have issues that get into personally of how you see money, right? So it could start going into those directions. And what I'm saying is, that's good. That's what we expect. We don't think that's bad. That's really good because God wants to be your father and help you take whatever the step is in that place. And then the other place it might go to, it may be this place of faithfully giving to the church. You might realize that, oh, you know, I shouldn't give the building project. But he might say, I want you to start faithfully giving to the church. And that is a very good response. He might say, you know, don't give. You're right where you should be, but I don't want you to give the billing price. That's his response. It's again, whatever God's asked you to do, I want you to listen and then respond to that. And then some of you, it may be a spot that God is going to challenge you in a sacrificial way of stepping out of a way that, of generosity that you've never done before. And so a couple examples would be this. Is under that question, you know, God could take you to lots of types of commitments. But here's a range of acceptable responses. God has told me I should not give to the building project. The best I can tell. I don't feel like I should. All the way to, I want to give $500,000 to the building project. Or you can give higher if you want to. I mean, anywhere you want in there, right? I'll pay for the building project. So the reality of it is all of those are acceptable responses, but the caveat is, if you've gone to God and listened to him and then responded to whatever he had, and it could be anywhere in between there, right? That's the key. It's a spot of, if you want to have peace with God, it's not, you can't do it out of pressure or guilt, or just, you know, I've even had people who are like, you know, very generous, like almost ready to write the check. I said, oh, slow. Have you prayed about it? you got to decide what God's. So that's what we're after. We're after this place that for every person, they can go to God in this area of finances, and they can say, what are you saying, God? And what he says, we do. All right? That's the risky part, right? He can do all kinds of stuff, but that's what we're asking you to do. And in that process, you may need help. You need encouragement. We have lots of resources to help you through that as well. On the non-financial part, it's like you could have all the way from this range of responses. I'm exactly serving and stepping out exactly where I should be, and I don't want to add anything else to my plate. In fact, God told me, no, you take something off my plate. You know, that's the response. I've listened to you. Another response may be, God has asked me to sell my home, to quit my job, and move to Nicaragua and help him build a school and teach there. And I'm not kidding. It can be either one of those. And it's not a matter of this is the big response. It's a spot of, are you listening to God and what he asks you to do? You can please him by saying yes to it. You understand? And that's what we're doing. We're not going to keep the campaigns and cheer away. You're not going to balloons. We're celebrating we can. But we're really just keep pushing this thing of talk to God. Know the facts. Gather the information. Ask the questions. Process how you believe. And let God use it to take you to that step. And it's going to feel like that kid on the boat, because that's what faith and bigger things feel like. But then you want to say, what is this? And he's never going to exasperate. He's not going to push you off. And you can listen to him and respond, and that's what we're after. That's what we're looking for. And so, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And what we want to do is this, not just getting a building. We want the process to please God. And when we go to God and we diligently seek him, believing he's God, we can know that he's a rewarder. He's going to reward us for responding. And we've realized there's no way of convincing people things in a natural, but we know God is the God who understands where you're at, he sees where you're at, and he's going to tell you what your next step is, and it's going to bring benefit to you, and it's going to advance you. And when you've done that, you can say, I've done my part. I've participated in this. And all of us can participate in this process. So I just want to encourage you, stay engaged in this process, even when you want to kind of check out. You know, really, this is a challenge. And let God have it take you to something that's really good. And understand that we want everybody to have that conversation, but understand that whatever God says, it's and as you listen to that, we will respect that answer and say, good, did you go to God? And that's the caveat, though. We're going to press you into that spot because that's where God, we want to please God with faith, all right? So I'd like the worship team to come up. And the thing about this is, as we do this, is faith always results. I mean, if you think of that kid on the boat kind of getting ready to do it, it always feels that way at first, but it always ends up in the place of greater trust and greater faith grown as you step out, greater peace and greater joy. And that it starts that way, but what we want it to end at is every person here has gone to God and God's spoken to them and they have the peace of Christ ruling on them. All right, would you stand?